All right, this talk tonight grew out of a question a few weeks ago about toughness and one of the points I was making in a talk about how to practice, and that was push. You know, we say train hard, but we need to know what's too much, what's too little, what's the right amount. That's why train hard, but we have to train right. And so I'll be going into that. I'll go into how you can tell what's right by listening and paying attention to the body's many signals. So this is a very practical talk, how to apply your practice. When I think about confidence, a lot of people come to martial arts because they want to feel more confident. Have you ever done something for the first time and felt confident? Now that depends just how challenging it was. If you have no way, nothing to compare it to, if you have no past experience in what you're trying, it can be scary. Confidence comes only through experience. Remember that. You have to experience somebody inflating you with pats on the back and telling you how great you are. Doesn't last. Doesn't work. It's very empty. Your only confidence, think about anything you're good at. Your job, if you swim, ride a bicycle, anything you do regularly, you're confident doing that. Something you don't do often, something you're not too sure. Imagine you never rode a bicycle. Maybe some of you haven't. Imagine you never jumped in the water to swim. You're not going to feel too confident jumping in the deep end in the pool or jumping on a bike, and all your friends are going to ride a bicycle. You know, all adults riding bicycles today, and you, oh no, I have a lot to do today. And it's because you really don't feel that confident. You're a little scared. First time you came to class, here, or anyone, anywhere, trying martial arts for the first time, this can be a scary experience. You just don't know what to expect. Now, I've had people, first thing they tell me is, I can't hurt my hands, I'm a pianist, or whatever. They think that we're going to throw them in the middle of the floor and everybody's going to jump on them. Come on, fight your way out. Not exactly. Not exactly. But martial arts practice, when someone says they're not interested, I don't like fighting, I don't like that stuff, I have to ask, because I've done it so long, most of my life, I have to ask, or at least think, would you rather know what to do and never need it? Or not know what to do and need it? That usually gets them thinking. Because here's the most interesting thing about preparation. Knowing what to do can make it far less likely you'll ever need it. Why? Your training raises awareness. If you're training right, and everything we do here is designed for this, you don't even realize necessarily, but we'll get on to you with the details. How the environment is, why we do what we do when we do it. It's going to increase confidence. Doing something you never did before, you're scared, you start doing it, you feel more confident. Now you know, hey, I can practice martial arts. The very thing you were afraid of. And there's many levels of that. There's a saying that martial arts begins and ends with respect. You become far more aware of others as well. You'll learn you're only in control of you. You can't control what other people do, what they say, and what they think. You learn to respect yourself and others because of it. You learn you're not special or any more so than anyone else. You're not better than, you're not less than anyone else. This is a very key teaching in the philosophy. Major components that changes your perspective. Toughness. You want to be tough? You need to face adversity. Without facing adversity, how can you know what you're capable of? What's possible? What's too much? Martial arts practice is essentially self-imposed or by choice, putting yourself in adversity. You're choosing an endeavor that challenges you when it's taught properly. Your practice by yourself, your practice with partners, your sitting in meditation, homework, all of it is challenging you. By choice. You choose to come here. You choose to be a part of this. You don't have to. So you're learning by doing about facing adversity. You experience that. There's something I'm very against. And I don't like it because I see it more and more. I think of myself growing up, the 80s, the 90s, and now this new millennium. Another decade went by. Sheltering. Or another way to say it is overprotection. Now, where do you think I'm going with that? You want to be tough, you have to face adversity. Sheltering and overprotecting is weakening the very people it's meant to protect. If someone gets red-faced, angry, and yelling in your face, just raising their voice, you might get very upset. But someone else doesn't faze them one bit. Why? If you grew up in a home or a neighborhood where people raise their voice, make fun of each other, bust each other's chops all the time, it's normal for you. You are perfectly comfortable. In a nice, perfect environment, you know, the perfect American family with the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids, and they want the perfect life, everything just right, and someone who raises their voice, it's like the end of the world. Why? It's not normal for you. So then, how do you know when a threat is real? They're red faced, yelling in my face, they're angry. How do I know it's real? How do I gauge that? How do I know if I really should be scared? Because I'm pretty scared right now. And how do I know it's the right reaction? one person may not recognize a threat that's real. They're in denial, or just oblivious, completely unaware. They ignore it, and they get hurt. The only way to know when a threat is real is through experience. The more aware you are of yourself, your feelings, the more centered you are and clear of mind. The very things you're practicing in martial arts. The more you can recognize in others when they're not. When they're not stable. When you do need to get your hands up and keep a distance. But you still don't have to respond in anger. Your focus is not to beat them, to show you're better, stronger, faster, practicing martial arts. My chance. Your goal in a real self-defense situation is to protect yourself. So you can overreact to no threat. You can underreact to a real threat without experience. Those who don't have experience, those who don't expose themselves to adversity or haven't had a life that challenged them much, or all the many laws, or it always comes to mind for whatever reason, because I really don't like it, when every kid gets a trophy just for trying, just for being there, just for being on the team. Way to go, Johnny, here's your trophy. How much you think that trophy is worth to that kid? If you grew up always getting something for nothing, what's really going on inside? We are weakening, and we are making people who are going to have more intense suffering and overreact to the smallest things, to less significant things. They'll make a big deal over nothing, more and more. And in my observation, I'm seeing this more and more. Because the kid who got a trophy for doing nothing grows up, and how are they in the workforce? Do a little research. Employers don't even know what to do with them. So, making too many laws, I mean, obviously, there's research goes into everybody has to wear a seatbelt, you know, a helmet on a motorcycle. But when I see my three-year-old on a scooter wearing a helmet twice the size of her head, I have to question the sanity of that decision. I don't know. Did one kid one day get hurt? I don't know. I don't know the right answer. But it just reminds me of the overprotection and the sheltering and the fact that when I fall down, I learn something. If I never fall down, when I do, I don't even know how to get up. Because I don't even understand pain. One of the aspects of martial arts, I'll use chinna, joint locking, for example. It's painful. But practice right, you don't get injured. But you don't like it. A lot of people don't like to practice that a lot. I'm telling you, when I was practicing coming up, I would leave training just, everything, just twisted and aching. But it got stronger because of it. I assure you. very rarely got injured. I say rarely because, yeah, sometimes you go all out and things happen. But you control with your partner based on your level. That's a decision too. How hard do I want to go? We have to know how to push. This is very important. Energy. Spending, saving, circulating, replenishing. How? Knowing this starts to teach us and tell us how our body will talk to us. How we know when it's too little, how we know when it's too much. So what spends energy? Well, exercise spends energy. Physical exercise spends energy. What spends the most energy? Thinking. Body, mind. Both. You use it, spending energy. Only have so much. How do we save it? Well, I think we might know this one obviously. Meditation. Thinking spends the most energy. Our thinking, thousands and thousands of thoughts, going, 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 but the brain never stops. We calm that down, we spend less energy. Could be 70-80% of what we have for the day. We calm that down, we quiet the mind. We have more energy for the things we want. What about this? Conditioning. For some people, a walk up the block is hard. You go up steps, whew. Let's try running 10 miles. For most of us, that's going to be tough. In fact, a number of us might even get hurt. Probably most of us won't even get anywhere near finishing. But to the marathon runner, this is not a big deal. That's fun. It's all relative. How much energy you spend physically, mentally, emotionally is all related to what demands, or lack of demands, you are consistently exposed to. When we say circulating, yeah, exercise circulates the blood, right? But there's a more superficial circulation here, physical exercise. That's why here it's Qigong. Learning to control relaxation, moving meditation is going to circulate much more profoundly, deeper. It's going to reach more places. That's the difference between the physical side and the internal side. Physical, cardiovascular, power, faster, and the slower, but still challenging in its own way, Qigong. But here's a very important one too. How do we replenish our energy? We use it, we save it, we circulate it, all these great things. But where do we get it from? Three sources. Only two you need to be messing with. The third is bad. Eat. Breathe. Those are the two. The other one is kind of like, without going into much detail, but when you have a rechargeable battery, you know they don't last forever, right? Just like our bodies. You can recharge it, use it, recharge it, use it only so many times. They'll start to lose how long they last. Just like our bodies. So if we're using that up, that's quality of life. We age faster. We'll have a harder time when we get older. Some of us won't even get older. Organs give out, heart, stroke, all these good things. Very fun. So let's not mess with this one. Because when you're not breathing well, you're using too much energy, that's where it's going. That's the burning the candles at both ends. We don't want to do that. But eating and breathing makes energy. Sleep does not make energy. But sleep makes use of the energy to rebuild you. So if you're not sleeping enough, again, you're getting in there. You don't rest enough, you don't sleep enough, you keep pushing, you're hurting yourself. There's only so much you can do. So key points here, the amount that you're spending is in direct proportion with what you're used to. Remember the marathon runner and us trying to run 10 miles. If you don't do that often, you're not used to it. Maybe you have a hard time with the steps. I don't know. Now, I'll leave that for a minute. Now, how does the body talk to us? How do we know what's too much, what's not enough, what's just right? Think about how you feel. Now, earlier today, normally, after this, after that. And after this, start thinking about, on a regular basis, take a look at that. What? How you feel? Feel good? Or bad? Do you feel positive or negative? Are you usually fairly happy, fulfilled, excited about life, productive, like to do things? Or are you unhappy? Get depressed a lot, irritable, don't like to do much. These are telltale signs. And only you know the truth. That's why the mirror, powerful partner in life, look yourself in the eye. You know, wisdom, be smart. Benevolence, be respectful. Sincerity, Be real. Be real. You lie to yourself all the time. This is the truth. How do I feel? And if I feel bad most of the time, and I don't make changes, I've only got one person to blame. Stop looking at spouses and children and your neighbor and the boss, your employer, the government. Stop. Look in the mirror. What can I do? Because I don't feel good. Physically? Too little conditioning, too little practice, too little exercise, just lazy. What's the result? You ever have to lift something heavy, you might get hurt. Why? This is important. Your own personal threshold. Is it getting better, stronger, more resilient, tougher, or are you getting weaker? Directly proportional to what you do regularly. When you have a higher threshold, you're going to feel good most of the time. And when something bad challenges you, something bad happens in your life, you'll bounce back quick because of the high threshold. What makes a higher threshold? You got to exercise, get in condition, be that marathon runner or something like that. Train hard. Don't be lazy. Train hard enough where it's uncomfortable, but you don't get injured. See, if you get hurt, you overdid it. If you're really sore, well, when it's new, it's hard to judge because it is already a little too much and your recovery is a little slower because that's exactly what's happening. Your threshold's low when you first come in and we're giving you a lot of new things for your body. You're not used to it. So now it's challenging. You're going to be sore. But now, all different times, first year, second year, fifth year, 10th year. Are you too sore? Are your joints hurting? Are you getting injured relatively frequently? Is it too much or is it too little? If the threshold's very low, too much isn't much. If the threshold's very high, you're in great condition. You're like that marathon runner. And you're sore and your joints are hurting, you're overtraining. You need to listen to your body. It's talking to you. Take advantage of injuries. I've had my share, believe me. But I never stopped training. More meditation, more qigong, something. Something. You don't say, oh, I hurt this, so pull the muscles up. Right, that's it. Can't practice martial arts anymore. Martial arts must be bad for me. Must be bad for me. Too much is bad for you. Quit, guarantee, now it's too little. Bhagwajan, the art of change. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. You can try your best to maintain yourself by doing nothing. See how it works out. It's hard just to maintain. Making progress, you gotta be uncomfortable. But not suffering. There's a difference. You have to recognize, even within a group practicing, you can tone it down. Or you can push it up. But if you're exhausted the next day or the day after, if your practice is making it nearly impossible to do your normal day-to-day chores and activities and work, the things you need to do, you're probably pushing too hard. Again, your body is talking to you. But it's so relative, because how's this going? Are you rebuilding? If you don't rebuild, that threshold's going down. You can't handle much. So physically, are you atrophying from lack of, or are you injuring from too much? Either way, you're going to get weaker. You got to find that happy medium. You've got to listen to your body. Mentally. How about mentally? What is the mental side? Clear thinking. Ability to focus, to learn, to pay attention, be aware. Memory, you'll remember things better. Ability to problem solve. When things are not going as they should be, or you need to fix something, and your ability to think is better. You're going to be more creative coming up with answers. You learn also not to focus on the problem, but focus on the solution. That overstressed, overworked, emotionally unstable person, weaker, sheltered, doesn't know how to come up with things for themselves, is going to focus on the problem. It's going to fall into woe is me. It's going to need all this extra help for some of the simplest things. This is true. So if you find your memory is not so good, if you find you have a hard time focusing, you got to look at why. Too little or too much? Not enough rest? Not eating well? How's the breathing? Is it up in the top part of the chest? Or are you breathing more fully? You get some belly movement when you breathe. All of these things are going to affect that threshold and your ability to think, your ability to focus. With creativity, without creativity, you can't think yourself out of everything. Inspiration comes out of clarity. Answers to problems, ideas come from a calmer, clearer mind. You can create if you're not overwhelming your mind. If you're not overspending or underusing, it goes both ways. Emotional. This is a big one. Goes a lot with the mental side, but a little more specific. If you're always on edge, if you are irritable, anger easily, depressed a lot, fatigued, tired without reason, in other words. I can see if you exerted yourself, but you're just kind of sluggish most of the time, depressed, no real drive. Why do you feel that way? You know who feels that way a lot? People who came up sheltered. People who came up overprotected. The smallest things get them, set them off. A traffic jam, something you can't do anything about. You're ready to open your door and fight. And I've seen it firsthand. Maybe you have too. Get home at night, a meal's not ready on time. You're hungry. Oh, you start yelling, screaming because the meal's not ready like it should have been, like you think it should have been anyway. Going off the deep end over nothing. If you find yourself doing that, you have to look. What's going on here? Too much? Too little. That sheltered, overprotected person was too little. Their emotional stability is very limited. They're emotionally stable in a very secure and safe environment. Perfect environment. Anything out of routine, it's a big deal. That's why we need to challenge ourselves. That's why we need adversity in our lives. And you know darn well, life's going to throw stuff at you. Some more than others. But some handle it better than others. You'll be more resilient, you'll be tougher if you're exposing yourself to these things. This all comes together. The physical, mental, and emotional, the body, mind is one. If you're not in shape, that threshold's lower, and you're much easier to tire, which then you don't think clearly, and you get emotional. You're weaker. Can't handle much. I wrote this today, so I'm going to read it. And it's called Climbing Your Mountain, The Voyage Home. We each have our mountain to climb. Some we choose consciously, others seem randomly thrown in our path throughout life. You can choose to avoid, ignore, deny. You can turn your back and delay. You can argue and fight, kick your feet and scream. But you still have that mountain to climb. Sometimes there's no choice, though you can bail out. You can say, I can't. You can choose to die. But if you want to live, to be fully alive, you must climb. By climbing your mountain, you get stronger and more capable. You experience things that would not be possible if you did not climb. You can see things you could not see from where you were before. And you are better prepared to climb more mountains. On your voyage home, or in realizing yourself. The mountains you climb are inside you, not out. They can be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. But the decision to climb, to say I can, to live fully, is all yours. Let's go to meditation.